You betcha. Come on, it's good. Wow. Can we turn those down? Just, you know, it's so bright I can't even see my iPad. Like, what's with that? Hi, everybody. It's good to see you. I absolutely agree with Ryan. The Lord's plans continue. And he's got great things planned. I just happen to be one of those guys that says this. I'm going to live and I am going to die to fight for one thing. And that is that the church looks like the family of God. Because we don't need any more institutions. What we need is the family of God on earth. So that we can identify when this thing says, Abba Father, and our Father has great thoughts and great plans and great dreams, and it's a new day, because that's the way fathers think for their sons and for their daughters. And I want us as a family of God to begin to fight harder and live harder, because it's really exciting days. Lots of truths out there in the body of Christ, right? Present day truths. But something captured me years ago, and I want to talk about it, because what a thrilling morning this is this morning. What a thrilling morning that we get to, with thanksgiving and praise and thankfulness in our heart, release three sons and their families to the exploits of God. And all that he has got planned for us through them as sons of the faith, as daughters of the faith. And it's just a thrilling event this morning to be able to participate together with you in this event as our church family releases this moment into the hands of God. What a great time. It doesn't just happen, church. It doesn't just happen. It's a rare event, let me say to you, please. It is a rare event when the senior pastor moves into another position and sons of that house take the vision over. You better realize how rare that is, because most of the time, the auction takes place and new leadership comes in and then a new vision comes in. And that's just church life. And in fact, lots of these religious institutions say this: you can only stay at that church for 4 or 5 years, then you've got to move, because we don't want you too close, I guess. I don't understand the theology of that. But not here. This is a miracle. I mean, I'm telling you, it is a miracle to have the quality of these three young men. And when I say these three young men, I'm obviously speaking of Ryan and Pastor Justin and Pastor Jim. Because, man, these guys are quality people. And their wives, oh my gosh, is this unbelievably exciting. But I need to give a little review. I'm going to give a little review, because I think it's very important for us to understand where we are. But several years ago, the Lord gave Generational Hope Christian Center a choice: to become a religious institution or to fight for sons and daughters. And I don't know if we really realized the fight that was going to be raged on us. I've got lots of fun stories about that. I remember when little Jimmy, baby, He had just graduated from this master's commission program, and his mom was thrilled, and we were thrilled, and Pastor Dave was thrilled, and we decided just to have a communication night and share that, hey, we're going to go after sons and daughters. We're going to fight for generational hope. We're going to fight for this. And so we had a panel up here, and the panel was mom, Jim, and Jim's mom, and some leadership, and we just started sharing our hearts, wanting to invest in the next generation. And all of a sudden, this man stands up, and this other man stands up, and this woman stands up, and they start pointing their finger at us, saying, are you guys idiots? Literally. And I remember turning over to Pastor Dave, and Pastor Dave looked over at me, and we both said to one another, this must be Jezebel. Because we had no idea. Dave probably did. I had no idea what that meant. But at that time, when we said it's time to start fighting for generational hope, it's time to start acting like a family of God instead of an institution of God, thank you, Generational Hope, for saying in your spirits, we're going to fight for this because we are here because of that today. You made some hard choices. You didn't make easy. You made some hard choices, and your faith and who you've become has proven it down the line. People have become quite disillusioned with the church in this 21st century. Sad to say, but not me. Not me. And you know why? Because our sons and our daughters are going to take it to a place where we have never gone. Our sons and our daughters are going to take it because there's a, I might be a Caleb, but there's some Joshuas in our midst, as Ryan said earlier. So I'm not disillusioned. In fact, I'm really excited. Let me read. 1 John 2:14, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you've known him. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And I am writing to you, children, because you know the Father. That's church life, folks. That's church life right there. God has always been generationally thinking. He always thinks generational. I am so glad you and I are getting to know the heart of God. God's got a lot of acts. He does a lot of things. Last night was wonderful. Those are a lot of beautiful things. But to know his heart is to go to a place that is really wonderful. And to go to his heart means to go to how God thinks, and God has always thought, planned, and dreamed generationally. Always. Always. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, you know, the Paul, the Timothys, he's always thought that way. He's always believed that way. And I want to explain why in a few minutes. But what a battle, right? What a battle. I don't care whether you look at Generational Hope Christian Center or whether you look in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because when that declaration is made, when that declaration is made in the Spirit, we are going to fight for our sons and daughters. We're going to fight and think generationally, and we're going to pay for it. How many know kids are expensive, right? So we're going to pay for it, right? Then all hell breaks loose against us. And the Bible is very clear. Anytime there is a dream of inheritance being passed on, this spirit called Jezebel rises up. We understand it because the battle was fought and will continue to be fought on this home front. But thank you, GHCC. You fought through a lot of battles. You fought hard. You've won. We've been knocked down. We're getting up. We've been knocked down. We're getting up because I have a dream for my grandkids. I have a dream for your kids. I want them to love Jesus and to love the church and to have and be a part of a revival generation, which I believe they are and will become. And I'm not going to give up. But when Ahab and Jezebel went to Naboth and said to Naboth, we want your inheritance. Naboth rises up and he says, not for sale. That's Pastor Dave's favorite line. Not for sale. Jezebel says, I want that garden. And I tell you, I have a garden. And my garden is not my possessions. My garden is my kids. That's my garden. That's my garden. That's what I care for. And Jezebel comes along and says, Naboth, I want that inheritance. I want that garden. He said, not for sale. And then the spirit of betrayal was released. And anytime you smell betrayal, you know Jezebel's a workin'. And the church is split and divides, and the church is torn apart through betrayal year after year after year because there's not the heart of God being fought for. not the heart of God, not generational thinking. But, you know, God said, I'm going to raise up three men. And he raised up Hazael, Jehu, and Elijah to do something about it. Three guys. Ooh, Jimmy. Ooh, Justin or Ryan. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar had some trouble. Oh, and God raised up Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Three guys. Oh, and we've got three guys in our midst who will not bow down. Amen. Who will not bow down. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to get behind that, because you and I haven't bowed down at GHCC, and we're not going to bow down, and we're going to watch these three guys be the Joshua generation. Oh, I could talk to you about, you know, Moses releasing Joshua. But these guys know how to carry his presence on their shoulders. And we're going to see some Red Seas, and we're going to see some Jordan Rivers part. Red Seas being salvations, and Jordan Rivers being inheritance, right? We're going to see some things part here in the future. It's really exciting. With no handoff, no fathering, no spiritual inheritance being passed on to the church dies. Because it only takes one generation, it tells us in Joshua, only Judges, and only one generation to lose it. But with handoff and inheritance, oh my gosh, the church grows and prospers. And it's so exciting. We must remember that no generation is self-appointed. Every generation serves under another generation. And if you want to run down where prosperity takes place, you run down the Rockefellers and other families that have generational blessing year after year, and you run down and you can see why they're so powerful. But the church stays weak because there's no generational handoff. But this morning, there is. This morning, there is. And it's exciting. Therefore, you and I must know that influence is lost when there is no generational handoff. Influence is lost. And I happen to believe that's why the church has not much influence anymore. Do you remember when the communities used to honor Wednesdays because everyone was that youth group? Do you remember when they used to honor Sunday mornings because everyone was at church? Not anymore. Not anymore. But that is about to turn around. Because influence is being imparted and influence is being gained, because the church of God begins to think like a father, begins to think like a family. Therefore, influence builds. It builds. Listen to me. Influence builds when our sons take over. They know how to carry his presence. And I've already said these guys know how to carry his presence. Jezebel might be wicked and strong, but when the church embraces the spirit of Elijah, look out, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Because you and I must, you must remember, the judgment against Jezebel was a man that brought heaven's interest to earth, Elijah. And he did this, and he said this, and you know it all so well. I am going to send you before that great and terrible day. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. I am going to send the spirit of Elijah. So this generation that's coming behind us, there's some names to it through the years I've heard. The Elijah generation. Oh, I like that. If they turn the hearts. If they bring heaven's interest to earth. Then we've heard the Joshua generation. I like that, man. Promises. Let's go after the promises of God. But I don't know. It's exciting. I don't know. I don't really care what name we give these guys, this generation. I just want to go with them. Because I know God is not finished yet. And I tell you, I really goof up the timing of God. Have you ever goofed up the timing of God in your hearts? I honestly thought it was me in my 20s that was the Joshua generation. And then when I heard a prophet say, it's not you, it's your sons and daughters, I went, no way. I wanted it to be me. Now I'm the Caleb, and you're the Calebs. But it doesn't matter. I just had my timing wrong. The heart of it is, I'm glad to be around sons that have that same heart. Same heart that will not bow down and will walk in great glory and might. I have traveled to hundreds of churches in the past 20 years. And I'm telling you what, it is really easy to see the difference between pastors that are CEOs and pastors that are fathers. And I'm telling you, it's easy to see. Because those CEOs, all they want is a bigger, better hamburger shop on the corner so they can sell more goods. So let's just put a little bit more pickles on it. Let's just put a little more mayonnaise on it and make that hamburger better than the church down the street. Or you have fathers in the pulpit. And these fathers have a foundation, and they know what they want the church to look like because they want the church to look and act and think like Father God, and they want their sons and daughters to go further, to do more, to do greater things, and that is the difference. And I love it that we're placing 3 fathers and 100 zillion kids. You fruitful people, you. I love it that we're dreaming, and we're not placing CEOs that want a better product. I'm thrilled to death we're placing 3 men, 3 ladies, their kids, because they're fathers and mothers of the faith. And boy, they have been tested, and boy, they have been tried, and they have put through the fire. And I've watched the fire burn up the bands. You know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And I've seen Jesus in the fire with him, and I've seen him come through it. I'm just thrilled to death. Thrilled to death. CEOs, no thank you. CEOs tell their congregation, do as I say, don't do as I do. But fathers say, follow me. I'll lay my life down for my sons and my daughters. And these 3 men are going to lay their life down for Generational Hope Christian Center. But if they lose their families because they're so busy, I'm going to spank them. I'm just not going to let these guys do that. They're not going to lose their families because of you. I'm not going to let them give their life to ministry because of GHCC. I'm not going to let them do that because I want them to keep their heart for their kids and keep their heart for the next generation because it's going to make us better. It's going to make us better. I don't need them to perform for me. Religious institutions, they're out there saying this, do's and don'ts. And I'm tired of do's and don'ts. Tired of it. I want fathers. I want sons. I want to be led that way. And by the way, that was the same problem. Oh, yes, it was. Same problem Paul had. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 4:14. I'm writing these things not to shame you, church, but to admonish you. You have countless tutors in Christ, yet you've not many fathers. Countless tutors. What that means really in the Greek is boy leaders. You got a lot of boy leaders. But where are the fathers in the Corinthian church? A lot of boy leaders, but where are the fathers? Where are the fathers? Fathers, well, let me do it the other way around. Boy leaders, they teach. Listen, when I was single and radical for Jesus, I was really legalistic. And so were you. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You lived in a legalistic mindset that was so black and white, and then along came kids. Oh, baby, did that ever shatter my legalistic mindset? I thought I was going to be the best in the West. You know what I mean? I'm going to this and that's going to happen. Then all of a sudden kids come along. And I remember Patty and I having to spank our kids and then turn away and start laughing. Because we just hated the thought of spanking our kids. But we had to spank our kids because their bottom is made for that, mom and dad's. Oh, Never mind. I'll go to jail. But you know, the difference is this. I never really knew the unconditional love of God as a legalistic young man that all I wanted was hell, fire, and brimstone. And then along comes kids, and my unconditional heart opens up. And my unconditional heart says, I never knew this part about God. No wonder he's called Abba. No wonder he's called Abba. He loves me even though I'm a little brat like Stephen. It's just, Melody, do not say amen. Do not, Ben, do not say amen. Michelle, zip your lips. But I didn't know unconditional love. And I love it. I love it when fathers are in the pulpit. I love it when fathers are in the pulpit because they're going to communicate the heart of God, not the rules of God and the laws of God. Even though you understand, I love the school teacher, the laws of God. You got it. Okay, give me some grace. You know, you start talking about, never mind, I'm not going there. And because of this, I believe when these three men lead us as a church, I believe you're going to want to follow because your heart has picked up the Father, the heart of God. And your heart has picked up a heart for sons and daughters in the next generation. Programs and clinics do not produce sons and daughters, church. It takes a generational strategy and it takes a generational handoff. You can't produce sons and daughters with clinics. Can't do it. It takes an intention, and that's what we're doing, and that's what we have done. I want to read to you a promise that was given to Tahoma Assembly of God 30 years ago. I'm really dating myself now. I'm actually older than that, too. But I have all these dates on my Bible, prophetic dates and prophetic proclamations, and I'm going to read you one because I think this is eternal. And I want to read it prophetically for these three men and their families too. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, for behold, darkness will cover the earth. And everyone said, oh my gosh. And deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around about and see. They all gather together. Listen to the next line. They come to you, your sons, and they come to you, your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in your arms. I believe there is a tattooed, blue-pink, painted generation out there that is looking for revival. They're looking for hope. And I'm telling you what, we're going to capture them. Because we got these three guys that are ready to win the generations. Listen to the next line. Then, did you catch it? It talks about the glory and it talks about the incredible. Rise up, the glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to you. Oh boy, the nations came to us. That was one of the most beautiful things of Pastor Ed and Marcia I've ever experienced. The nations came. Right? How beautiful. I mean, this is happening, man. I mean, this is happening. But don't ever forget this line. They will come to you, your sons, and they will come to you, your daughters, and you will carry them in your arms. Then You will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the people, see, means people in the Bible, will be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations will come to you. Jezebel, you strike our finances, and you know what I'm going to do about it? I'm going to give more than I ever have. Not because GHCC asked me to give more, but this love offering that's coming to GL in a couple weeks, I'm going to give more than I've ever given before. You know why I'm going to give more than I've ever given before? Because how dare you, Jezebel? Now, please, I'm not saying a person is Jezebel. Please don't leave here saying I said that. But this spirit comes in and says, I've tried to stop him here, I've tried to stop him here, I've tried to stop him here, I've tried to stop him here. Now I'm going to stop him in their finances. And I say, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. We're going to take a love offering for generational leadership in a couple weeks, and we're going to slap that spirit in its face. Because the generational leadership dreams for what I just read. Sons and daughters coming from afar and being carried in our arms. But today, we're gathering around these three great men and their families, and we should be thrilled. Several months ago, we as elders were talking, we were just talking about, you know, we are transitioning Pastor Ed into missions, and we're all together talking about where we see GHCC, where we see it going. And I remember Brian speaking up. And he said this, and I'm going to paraphrase it. I might put some sanguine to it too. You know what I mean, Brian? You might need a little bit of that. But he said this. All I know is I want GHCC to become a place where my son and my daughters can be raised in the glory of the Lord, where they can be equipped and trained to be leaders for their generation, and I want them to love this church as much as I do. And then Ryan pops up, me too. And Jim, yeah, man. And Justin, yeah. And I thought, these are the right guys. These are the right guys, because they carry this father heart so beautifully. We're called to do that just now. We're called to set aside this time this morning. We're called to gather around these and to launch them into some great days and some great hands, because they're great fathers. These men have fulfilled the dreams of Pastor Dave. These men have fulfilled the dreams of Pastor Ed. And now we as a church are going to get behind them so they can fulfill the dreams of God the Father, and we will see our dreams fulfilled. We will see it, because these men know what it is to be servants. These men know what it is to be armor bearers. That's a lost term, isn't it? Armor bearers. They've laid down their own dreams. They've laid down their own finances. They've laid down their own stature and served Generational Hope Christian Center. And it thrills me today that we get to just lay our hands on them and say, go for it, boys. I can still call them boys. Go for it, fathers. Go for it, men. Go for it. It's a new day. One wonderful thing is this, and we're about to do it. Jesus' ministry began with a confirmation. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. It was being validated from heaven. This is my son. Man, just think what God could have said. This is my miracle worker. He didn't say that. He said, this is my son. And that's about what we're going to do. We're going to say, these are our sons. We're going to validate them in the spirit and do it. Are you ready, GHCC? Come on. It is a great day, and you and I should be proud as little puppies. We should just be proud fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers, because this just does not happen in the church world. It doesn't happen, folks. And yet, it's going to happen right now. I'm going to ask Pastor Dave and Marcy to come up next and take us to the next phase.
When I grow up, I want to be just like Pastor Tom. This morning, we have also set aside this time to honor Pastor Ed and Marcy. They have actually served this church for about 28 years, and 12 years as the senior leader, given their lives for God's purpose in this church, in this community, in this state, and in the nations of the world. And we're going to take just a moment to just honor, and let me tell you how we're going to honor them this morning. And by the way, all of you who are guests here this morning, just special people that have been part of this church, we just welcome you and thank you for coming this morning and being part of this historic moment in the life of this church. When I had the privilege of handing the torch to Pastor Ed 12, almost 13 years ago, Pastor Ed honored me shortly after that. He honored me with the greatest honor that any man could ever, ever have. It wasn't a public thing that he stood up before you and said, I want to honor Pastor Dave because of, but what he did is he took two of my children and he placed them in leadership in this church. My two daughters became part of the leadership of this church. As a father, there is nothing that honors me more than that. There's nothing he could have done that bestowed more honor on me than to see the value in my children that I raised and say, I want them to be part of the leadership of this church. Pastor Ed has seen in these three men that are going to be set apart this morning, he saw something in their lives. Remember, they're here because of Pastor Ed's vision. They're here because he saw something in their life that he said, I want to capture that, and I want to prepare that for this day. Even though he maybe didn't see this day and the situation of this day, that's what he saw in these young men. And no greater way can we hear the heart of Pastor Ed than to hear his better half, Pastor Marcy, who God has joined together 28 years ago with Pastor Ed, and they have carried this torch together. And so Marcy's going to come, and she's going to share with us a little bit, and just kind of the heart of Pastor Ed, because she said to me, she says, I know what he wanted for this morning. I know what he wanted to do. And so if he was here, he would be part of this. But he is here in his wife. So Marcy, come and share with us. Love you, love you.
Thank you. I don't even know where to start. This is Ed's Bible right here. You know, we've gotten into electronics, so he used his Bible a lot on his iPad and his phone, but I thought it was something because the other day we were looking through the Bible, and I had actually looked through Ed's Bible, and like Pastor Tom said, he would write dates and stuff, but I thought it was something because Pastor Dave had the Bible and he was flipping through it. And in the thin pieces of paper, he still had Justin and Kara's wedding taped in his Bible. All the notes from their wedding is still in this Bible, which I'm going to carefully pull out and give to Kara one of these days. But I thought that was really special. But I know he would tell you this, and he meant it with all his heart. I want you to know that I love this church body. And that's what he would have said to you today. And you know, he did. He really loved this church body. And I know it's going late, but I just want to share this part. You know, when we were in Uganda years ago, We had served here, and we had left for a few years, and I know many of you have heard this story, but there was a time where he heard God tell him, go home and pastor GHCC. And he, don't take it wrong, he didn't want to. He said, no. And he began to fast, and he would pray, and he would fast, and he would pray, and he did it for months. And finally, I kind of looked at him because he was getting really skinny. I mean, he's 6'2", and he was getting really thin. And I asked him, I said, are you fasting that God would change his mind? And he said, yes. But you know, something happened in that moment. And I saw him knelt beside the bed. And he told me this, Mars. God told me I have a choice. And he said he told me he would bless whichever choice that I would choose. And he said it broke my heart that God loved me that much, that I asked him, what's your choice? And the Lord told him, go home and pastor GHCC. And that's how come he was here. But you know what? God had a plan. Because he changed and transformed us even more. He taught us what it was. He taught Ed what it was to truly be a father. And he loved his kids so much. He loved our kids. And he loved your kids. And he believed in the next generation. And to see them continue to move on. And one thing I can say, Pastor Dave, 12 and a half years ago when we stood up here and Pastor Dave handed Ed a wheel. And I can tell you, church body, there are things that you do not know in silence and know that have happened in the last 12 and a half years. But I'm going to tell you one thing that I know. He never let go of the wheel. Not one time through the good, bad, and the ugly, he never let go of the wheel. I'm going to read something. I'll probably read a lot of my notes. I want you to know that Ed would voice through the last month of what he wanted in this transition. And you know what? He was excited. He loved you guys. He loved team. Everybody knows his famous saying, teamwork makes the dream work. And actually, it truly does, because we're so different personalities that we need each other to get really where we need to get going. If we all had the same personality, we would be in trouble. If we were all like Ed, we would really be in trouble. We have to have a balance. Somebody's saying, whoa, 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 maybe we should help you out here a little. You're right. That's why we need each other. But this is what I want to say. I'm just going to start this. And I want to say to you, Justin and Ryan and Jim, I'm reading out of 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. I'm going to also jump down to verse 5 and 7. I'm reading out of the message, if you would like to go back and read it sometime. But it says this, I cannot express this on you strongly. God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the judge with the final say on everyone, living and dead. He is about to break into the open with his rules. So proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, and urge your people, don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. Keep your eyes on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. Ed would tell you this, verse 7. You take over. This is the only race worth running. I ran hard right to the finish, believing all the way. All that's left now is the shouting and God's applause. And he would tell all three of you, fight the fight, run the race, and keep the faith. He loved that. I was looking through Pastor Ed's notes, and I have to tell you, I don't know if everything that I'm going to say today was his heart. I couldn't get into his cell phone. The code was changed, and he wrote everything in there. But I want to share a few things that I know was Ed's heart. And I would like to encourage you with a few words, and I'm sure many of you heard him preach this many times. But I believe that it will impact your life, probably forever. But he would tell me this: the longer I live, the more I realize the impact that attitude has on life. Attitude to me is more than the facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think, say, or do. It is more important than appearance, than giftedness or skill. It can make or break a company, a church, a home, and even your marriage. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitudes we will embrace for that day. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is your attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with this: Justin, Kara, Ryan, Jim, pastors, elders, leadership team, everyone else in here, you are in charge of your attitude. Pastor Ed Polreich, a father and a friend. I liked what Ryan said this morning.